We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Remember, please bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. All right, before we get going on Bob Flanders' 25 most important players, we're counting down. We're inside the top 10. We're going to get to three more this week, at least three, but the plan is to get to three. We are going to announce the winner from the Ask Ross segment, and it was the last one. And there was a couple other leaders in the clubhouse, but Christian from Allison Park near Pittsburgh, you are this week's winner. All right. We are down to or up to. Are we down to or up to?
We can go with either one.
We're up to number six.
Yeah.
Do you want to review everybody up to number six, Bob? That's up to you. Yes or no? Or do you want to go?
Let's just
get going.
I mean, it's almost like a top six list now.
Top six list. That's just what they care about.
People are just tuning in now, getting to this list. They probably aren't going to tune in next week.
I will say this, Bob. I was not here last week. I don't really have an issue with your 7, 8, and 9.
Well, Jahan would be the one that he might be considering. He might be a little bit
higher.
Maybe further away from 7, just because he's still got to show a couple of things. And he really is. He's good at almost everything, but he's not really anything. There's not anything he does where you're like, man.
I think you could argue Jahan Dotson's ahead of Journey Brown and ahead of Shaka Toney, just because of the unknown behind him. Yeah. Maybe even Michael Menick. I think Miranda could play center. I mean, we don't really know that. They don't have another receiver that we know can play at a Big Ten level. So I think maybe forget the compliment I gave you. I think Dotson should have been higher.
We'll just see how he focuses on being more of the center of attention with KJ gone this year.
All right, let's get to the list. It's number six. The first one for this week is running back Journey Brown.
I don't know. You know, I should look this up, but the last four or five games he played at Penn State, if you look at the numbers just from those five games, like, they're as good as any running back maybe who's really ever played at Penn State. Just it was and he played against some good teams. I mean, the game at Minnesota on the road, that was a very good game. It was like, I think, 14 for 124. When Penn State finally got the ball in the second half against Ohio State for more than three plays,
he was good.
He made some plays against a very, very good Ohio State defense. He carried, I think, a couple of Buckeyes into the end zone on that one run. You saw what he did. I mean, Rutgers really doesn't count, but he had a great game against Rutgers. And what he just smashed Memphis. That was, and I know, not another terrific defense, but just the combination of power and speed really kind of manifested itself, I think, down the stretch. I said it earlier, they got a talented running back room. Mr. Devin Ford, who I know Ross Tucker admires, didn't even make my list, and you could probably argue with me about that, but the list, that running back room, is so fascinating to me because it doesn't take much for it to get shaken up, whether it's a high ankle sprain or whatever, but it just seems like you better be ready to run when your number is called at Penn State, because if you're not ready to run, the next guy up is going to take your job. It happened to Noah Cain just because of the injury. Journey Brown made the most of his opportunity. And moving forward, I just, you know, whether it's the offense or maybe Kirk or whatever, I just think that using him in the passing game, getting him in space with that speed and using that power maybe against a defensive back instead of a linebacker, I think there's another level to his game. And I just think that I know they have a lot of good running backs, but he showed, I think, pretty clearly that when he's used right and he's healthy, he's one of the best running backs, I think, physically in the country.
How long has James Franklin been talking about him? For 2 years, right? You've been hearing, like, we like Journey Brown. We like Journey Brown. And you're like, okay, it's Journey Brown.
And you almost didn't believe him.
Right.
He's like, okay, yeah.
Okay, it's Journey Brown, right? He's fast.
He is the most under-recruited total freak show I can remember in a long time. I mean, you think about today's day and age of recruiting and stuff. Bob, I just got you a story for Penn Live.
I'm listening.
No, seriously.
I'm listening.
You need to talk to Journey Brown and the Penn State coaches and find out why he wasn't more heavily recruited.
Okay.
And I know he's from Meadville, and I know that's middle of nowhere. I don't care. There's a lot of kids from middle of nowhere. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
right? No,
he
I agree.
Won the state in the 100. Those he set the record in the 100. Coaches usually get reports of every 100-meter kid in the country that plays football that runs under a 10.5. I don't know what happened there, but I'd be fascinated. And his tape, he was definitely raw, but still, I would love to hear the story of how, like, he's going to make Bruce Feldman's freak show list. Yeah. How can a guy that makes Bruce Feldman's freak show list have, he didn't really have that many offers.
He did not.
That means there's going to be three Lions on Bruce Feldman's freak show list because there were two last year in their back.
Yeah, that's a good point. Is it? So you knew he was fast, right? When he was coming out of high school, Journey was fast. But the development of him as his body, to that power.
Dwight Gall talked about it.
To go along with the speed is just
one of the biggest changes in his physicality is his leg strength. He said when he got to Penn State, you know, he was benching 295 pounds. Now he's at 395. But he's squatting so much more, and he's much more flexible in his lower body and in his hips. And he said, Dwight said, when he first got here, he was a little bit stiff, and they worked long and hard to get him more explosive in his lower half.
Yeah, and he lost no speed. He lost none of that blazing speed.
Does not appear to have lost a lot of speed.
So, all right, you're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. We're your source for Penn State football news and analysis 52 weeks a year. Hey, we never stop talking Penn State football. All right, we're in quarter number four. We are counting down Bob Flounders' 25 most important players of 2020. We are at the meat and potatoes part of it. Number five.
Yeah.
Defensive end Shaka Toney. I want to hear this because this is a curious spot for him
and
me.
Yeah, but yeah, so it's a bonus for Penn State that he came back. Because I think he would wait. He never announced he was coming back, which is probably classic Shaka. He does not say a lot.
The deadline just
passed. He's been consistent with that stuff. Look, the guy had his best year to date last year. Yes, I know he played opposite Yetur Gross-Matos, and that probably impacted that. But you look at his numbers, and he was a second team All Big Ten coaches pick, I believe, as a defensive lineman. You look at his numbers, and then maybe they don't exactly pop out if it was like maybe eight tackles for loss and five sacks. What I remember about that season is how many times he had a quarterback in his sights, and either the ball came out or Shaka just went around the corner and just missed. I'm making this pick because if he ever learns to close the deal on his opportunities, you could see a guy with 15 tackles for loss and 8 or 9 sacks, a lot of forced fumbles because he just missed a bunch of them. He's the only defensive end that's really proven it at Penn State. They have some guys that they really like, and Jason Owe and Adisa Isaac,
but right?
Shaka, and I just remember that 4-sack game at Indiana.
Right.
I think he got them all in one quarter. It shows you that when he's feeling it and when he's kind of converting stuff, how dominant he can be. I think he's gotten a lot stronger. He still has a ways to go there, but he runs sub 4.5, which I didn't realize till I saw the board at Penn State. He's got a 39-inch vertical. He's a top athlete. It might seem like a little bit high, but I think his ceiling can be pretty special, and I think if he can convert some more chances, he's going to have better numbers. It's almost the reverse of Yetur, who converted everything in 2018,
right,
and then saw more attention in 2019.
So what did you like the most about? You talked about
first,
not closing.
First step.
First, I was going to say, what did you see in 2019 that made him more consistent and a better player consistently?
I mean, I think it was the volume of his quality pass rushes but he still didn't convert a lot of them. But he was around the quarterback a lot. Now, there were some games where he got exposed a little bit, but I just think he's gotten better, and I think he's going to have an opportunity when football resumes for some really, really big games. I don't think – you don't get 4 sacks in a quarter by accident.
Right. That doesn't happen by accident.
He is a very gifted player. I thought he would do more last year. I think the fact that he probably found out he wasn't as good of a prospect as he thought he was, I would like to think he would be extremely motivated – to have a really good year. And I think being opposite Owe, even though Gross-Matos isn't there anymore, I think he still can. I would expect, you know, guys go one of two ways. they either have a big time year because they know it's, you know, contract year, if you will, it's draft year, or sort of the burden of that, the pressure of that gets to them and they don't play as well. So we'll see. I think that's one of the reasons why Juwan Johnson struggled at Penn State, ended up transferring. I think he thought, I'm going to play this year and then go pro. And then you have one game where you don't get any catches and you're like, oh my gosh, my drafts, I'm losing money. I think it can really weigh on some guys. And other guys can really use it to propel themselves.
All right, the last one for this week is the center. He comes in at number four. It is Michael Mennett.
I mean, it doesn't seem like it's been that long ago since he was the top, but a lot of people thought the top player in the state of Pennsylvania. I think we all thought he would make an impact sooner at Penn State. He redshirted in 2016, part-time guard 2017, moved him to center, flip-flopped him with Connor.
In
18, which Ross really liked. I remember Ross really liked that move because of the athleticism that Michael had.
Yes.
Proved to be correct. I thought he got better as the season went on in 2018. And then early in 2019, James Franklin talked about how the mental part of the center job was starting to click with Michael. He could really relay information quickly to the sideline if they needed to make some adjustments. You have a very, very athletic player playing a very important position, and now he knows the position, third year as starter. If he's not one of the top three or four centers in college football, when football resumes, I'll be very surprised.
He's an excellent player, very highly touted out of high school. I thought him switching with Connor McGovern was a genius move. McGovern's such a big, thick, strong kid that he should have been at guard the way he was. I thought there was a very real chance that he would turn pro.
Yeah, that's what Mennett would turn pro.
I think it's huge for Penn State, especially with a new offense and a new coordinator, that they have him back.
New O-line
coach. He provides tremendous amount of stability there. And while I know Miranda could play center and might even be the center in 2021, you know, knowing that you have an all Big Ten caliber center is a really nice thing. You know, Miranda might not even be a good starter at center. You don't know.
Interesting, as we're working down the list, numbers four and five were both guys that could have gone to the NFL and didn't. Going back to your point, Ross, earlier, in the times we live in now, that Penn State's roster is a little deeper and thicker because of it. All right, that'll do it for quarter number four. Thank you, Ross. Thank you, Bob. For everybody at the Keystone Sports Network, stay safe, stay vigilant, and thank you for joining us.
The sports world has been put on hold, including the blue-white spring game. This is as disappointing at GoPSURV.com as it is to all of you. If you made GoPSURV reservations for the spring game, contact Mark at 800-519-8467. And for those who've entered the free RV raffle through the KSN app, GoPSURV has announced that they will offer an RV for their first regular season game. If you've already entered, your entry will go towards that raffle. We look forward to seeing you in the fall.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.